You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
This is Joe Caramagna, writer and letterer at Marvel Comics, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
And it is another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. We're your hosts, Mike and Ken. How are you doing today, Ken?
Hello, I'm doing great. And yourself?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Good to hear.
So, a little bit of a, would you say a slow week this week with news?
It's a little slow week, but there's plenty to talk about.
It's pretty diverse.
Yeah. All over the place, yes it is.
So, we got, what, Hawk news, and Guardians of the Galaxy news.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man cartoon news.
Could have been's. And
fashion statements.
Some gaming news. Marvel gaming news.
Did you say gamey?
Gaming. And, I don't know. What else? Of course, our picks of the week.
Yes, the picks of the week. The most important segment. How could you forget?
True. I think it's,
you're going senile.
I think it's probably one of our most anticipated segment of the show, is what are we going to pick?
I don't know, but I had a hard time picking stuff this week just because it's kind of just meh.
I'm going to pick. I've got one pick. I think everyone's going to go, we saw that one coming. But we'll get to that.
I saw it coming.
But we'll get to that one here in a little bit. I don't know. Let's see. Where should we go first?
If I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by you.
Puny god.
So I guess that means we're going to talk about the Hulk first.
Yeah, sounds good. After the powers that be saying there was not going to be another Hulk movie, I guess there's some news out that is saying that it could be a possibility. They're considering it for after the Avengers 2 movie.
Ruffalo deserves it. He really does. I mean,
yeah, he was very well done with the character.
Norton did a good job, but I don't know. Ruffalo was just amazing with it.
Just different personality, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It had the Bill Bixby type feel to it. I mean, with the way they bounce back and forth between the characters, you know, between Hulk and Banner.
I want to hear the song.
You want to hear the song?
I do want to hear the song.
The things I do.
Yes, please. Oh no. There it is. It's so sad.
It's the lonely man.
You just want to sit and just weep. Drink your own tears.
Now the question's going to be, can I give the Ruffalo quote with this playing in the background? Will it change the tone? When Mark Ruffalo was speaking with Digital Spy on behalf of his winning musical, Begin Again. Oh, this is so hard. And was asked about the possibility of the Hulk getting his own movie after The Avengers Age of Ultron. And instead of shooting the story down, Ruffalo playfully teased, "I think they are, for the first time, entertaining the idea of it. When we did the Avengers, it was basically no. Now there is some consideration for it."
Man, it should be.
But Ruffalo went on to clarify there's still nothing definitive, not even a skeletal version of what it would be.
But at least they're talking about it. That's the important thing.
At least they're talking about it. And of course, man, that was difficult. It just did not work.
feels like we're trying to deliver positive news about the Hulk and possibility of being a Hulk movie, and we're playing Lonely Man.
And being depressing at the same time.
Yeah.
But they're talking, you know, the fans, from what I'm hearing, they want it to be Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think doing that is like when people criticize me over on Weeby Geeks for wanting Dark Knight Returns. Why would you go that far and then essentially kill Hulk out of the franchise? Because if you're going to do Planet Hulk, then you're sending him off world where he essentially never comes back.
Yeah, I don't see a Planet Hulk storyline happening. I mean,
it's going to be kept to the animated.
Yeah, as far as, you know, exactly.
So.
But do you think, I guess Disney could afford it, but it's going to be a pretty expensive movie, depending on how they do it.
Right.
You know.
Because
it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. Yep.
But I hear that, of course, we've probably already talked about this, but the main reason that I guess this whole thing came up because Hulk is supposed to be a big part of the second Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying. Yeah.
So,
yeah, he's gonna be a large role. Yeah.
So it makes sense to move on to a.
His
own movie. Do you think he should be in other movies first, like Avengers, and maybe a Doctor Strange or a.
Well,
I don't know if there'd be another Iron Man.
Well, he already had like a very brief cameo at the end of Iron Man 3.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's in what capacity do you bring him in? If you bring him in into Doc Strange, bring him in under the capacity of Bruce Banner, not the Hulk.
Do you think?
I would love to see him come on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., especially now that they're kind of having to live on land, be lo-fi and everything else.
As Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about if they did a Planet Hulk? What about would it be better as a Phase 4 film after Avengers 3? If they have a big battle with Thanos and maybe the Hulk has something to do with that. He's not, you know, out into space somewhere.
I would think if Avengers 3 is Infinity Gauntlet or Secret War or Civil War, Planet Hulk would fit in after that as part of Phase 4.
Right.
But it would have to be the last Hulk film.
Hulk film?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, when you do Planet Hulk, how do you bring him back?
Yeah.
Unless it's Thor bringing him back.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they got it all tied up somehow.
Yeah.
It'll come full circle.
True.
It always does.
Yeah. Now, Guardians of the Galaxy, on the 17th of June, they released yet another trailer, more of an extended look at the Guardians.
And hearing Rocket Raccoon's voice.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's featured a lot in this. We see Star-Lord in a very early age.
Yeah, well, very early.
very early is understatement. So, tell you what, I got that clip. I had the audio from the trailer, so we'll play that real quick.
Awesome. I was only a kid when I left Earth. I had no idea what the universe had in store for me.
facing an unstoppable threat. You guys are our last chance.
I guess we're stuck together. Partners.
Are you telling me that the fate of 12 billion people is in the hands of a thief, two thugs, a murderer, and a maniac?
This might not be the best idea.
We will not stand by as evil
wipes out billions of innocent lives.
Why would you risk your life for this?
Because by now, life's giving us a chance.
If we don't protect the galaxy, who will?
We'll follow your lead.
Oh, yeah.
Totally fake.
I'm Groot.
Thank you.
What is that?
It's a bomb.
And you leave it lying around?
I was gonna put it in a box.
What's a box gonna do?
You just wanna suck the joy out of everything.
I don't know. To me, it seems like the one thing missing is Seth Green. It's almost like Bradley Cooper's voice is almost like Seth Green.
Almost like Seth Green. To me, his voice and the guy that plays Star-Lord's voice is very close.
Yeah, his voice to me sounds a lot like Sean William Scott. Of course, it's Chris Pratt, but
right.
It's interesting. It was one trailer that didn't have...
It was a little more of a serious trailer.
Yeah, but if that's one of the songs from the soundtrack that's not Hooked on a Feeling or Spirit in the Sky, I like the tone of the soundtrack, or that particular song. I'm looking forward to it. I think everyone who's claiming that this is going to be a bomb, I think this is going to be the surprise.
Oh yeah, this really is going to be a big hit. You know what song would be great with that trailer?
What's that?
Lonely Man. Play it.
No, I'm not going to ruin that. The only other song missing from it was. Which has like almost been the two key songs for both movies.
Right. And this trailer was kind of like just the orchestra.
Yeah.
Orchestra.
It's intense. You can find this trailer on Marvel.com. I'm sure it's probably on Marvel's page on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But it's the special extended look. It's pretty intense. I really dig it. So
I'm looking forward to it, that's for sure.
Then I guess the only other bit of video media news from the Marvel world that we could get into right now is we got the first details on Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors. Spider-Man returns in an all-new season premiering August 31st. On Disney XD.
Disney XD.
So they're gonna do with this what they didn't do on, if I read this right. Well, let's go through what Marvel has to tell us about this. The new season begins with Spider-Man accepting an invitation to become an Avenger. It could happen in the cartoons, but it can't happen in the movies yet. Alongside Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, and Falcon, everyone's favorite Webhead gets closer to becoming the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Presented in a multi-episode story format, Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors not only pairs Spidey with the Avengers, but introduces new heroes and villains from the Marvel Universe, such as Agent Venom, a new Iron Spider Amadeus Cho, Cloak and Dagger. Oh, that's going to be fun to see. That was a comic I used to dig as a kid. It was weird.
I couldn't tell you anything about it now because my memory is so bad, but
it was. I just know Cloak was a very mysterious.
The movie.
the movie was nothing.
Dabney Coleman.
Yeah, it wasn't the same.
No,
it might have been inspired, but I don't think it wasn't. They made it more spy than what the actual comic was. I just think it was just coincidence. It was the name.
The Invisible Jack Flack.
Yep. Additionally, for the first time in animation history, Miles Morales teams up with Spider-Man for a new adventure, and he's not the only Spidey that Peter Parker will encounter.
So is there going to be a Mary Jane Spider-Man in there?
I don't know.
Spider-Girl? Woman? Whatever.
Spider-Man. I don't know. I'm trying to go through here. The action of Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors continues with a robust consumer products program that focuses on Spider-Man, Iron Spider, Agent Venom, and many of the other characters comprising the New Warriors team who will make their debut in the series.
Sounds fun.
Let's see. Going through the cast list. Let's see who we get. We get Peter Parker, Spider-Man. We're getting Nick Fury. We're getting Coulson. We're getting J. Jonah Jameson. Norman Osborn. Iron Fist. Luke Cage. White Tiger.
Ooh, White Tiger, really?
Nova. Doc Ock, Matt Lanter from Star Wars: The Clone Wars will be doing Harry Osborn and Flash Thompson.
Cool.
Tara Strong as Mary J. Watson. That's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt May and recurring guest star Stan Lee as Stan the Janitor.
Lovely role for Stan.
But looking at the picture. Let's see, we got Iron Spider-Man, or Iron Spider, Spider-Pig, or Spider-Ham. Oh my lord.
Spider-Ham, yeah.
There's Morales.
2099 Spider-Man.
And I'm assuming the one that looks not like a man, but a woman, must be Mary Jane.
Spider-Girl.
Spider-Girl, so... yeah,
October. Who shall be a spider?
August 31st is when this is going to air.
Oh, it's going to be neat to check out, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So, on that note, we're going to take a very brief intermission. So just hang tight.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
So Marvel, we're in the 75th year of Marvel. Yeah. I can't believe
it's been that long.
Yeah, well, I know for Halloween Comic Fest, it's like the new free comic book day that they do around Halloween. One of the Marvel books is a repeat of Marvel Comics. Issue 1, I believe. The book that started it all. And then one of the other books is Secret Wars. Secret Wars number 1. So
I probably still have that around somewhere.
Let's see. So one of the highlights this week with Marvel's 75th anniversary is the coulda have beens.
Coulda have beens.
This is part one, but it's enough for us to cover this week. Yeah. Red Raven, the head of Timely Comics, Marvel's predecessor.
I love me some Timely Comics. Who doesn't love Timely Comics?
Thought enough of Red Raven to launch him in his own series in 1940, but for whatever the reason, they clipped his wings after only one issue. And the high flying, and it wasn't until 1968 that he was given a second chance and appeared in Uncanny X-Men number 44.
Dang, only took 28 years.
Yep. But thereafter was relegated to a retroactive World War II team, the Liberty Legion, and a daughter who shared his colorful costume.
Code name.
The second one was Sun Girl. First appeared in her own book, but it only lasted three issues in 1948.
She was the original Human Torch's sidekick.
Until 1949.
That I didn't know.
After which she only enjoyed a few backup tales and other titles. Today, the new Marvel characters bearing the moniker stand ready to fly to heights their namesake never quite achieved.
I wonder why. Sun Girl.
This next one's great. The Ringo, R-I-N-G-O kid.
The Ringo kid.
At the time when Western heroes blew in and out like tumbleweed, I see what they did there. The Ringo Kid stood tall in the saddle, and in 1954's Ringo Kid Western, and managed to hang on for 21 issues. Years later, in 1975's Avengers issues 142 and 143, he appeared along more well-known cowboy stars like Two Gun Kid and Rawhide Kid. But poor Ringo fell off his horse again after that, despite the plans for a solo revival that same year.
Fell off his horse again. Man, were they really went all out with that description.
Yes, they did. The next one's Phantom Eagle.
The old Phantom Eagle.
People like airplanes and pilots and superheroes, so why not a World War I masked flying ace?
Yeah, why not?
That's what Marvel thought in 1968, debuting the Phantom Eagle in Marvel Superheroes number 16. The aviator bid his time until a 1971 Incredible Hulk time travel story and a brief Phantom flight in 1973's Ghost Rider, but he hasn't really soared since then.
Oh, poor Phantom Eagle.
Yep.
And then your favorite, Mike?
What, Captain Savage?
Yeah.
The success of Sergeant Fury in 1963 led a spinoff that seemed a surefire hit, Captain Savage and his Leatherneck Raiders. So that's
sounds like a hit to me.
Alas, despite a solid send-off by Fury, Savage's wartime adventures lacked the punch of his fellow soldier, and 2 years after the Captain's book launched, it sank. Never to be seen again.
Ever.
Red Wolf. Follow this one if you can. A present-day Native American hero leapt onto the scene in the 1970s Avengers issues 80 and 81. But a few years after that, in 1972, an Old West champion with the same name and motif made his debut in Red Wolf number 1. Whether or not the time seemed right for such an ambitious character, he lost his book 9 issues later and stepped aside to make room for his modern counterpart. That Red Wolf once again made a go of it in Marvel Chillers in 1976, but found himself simply one of many other heroes in 1981's Incredible Hulk 265.
Then your second favorite comic ever.
It, the Living Colossus. I am surprised Impossible Man's not in this list.
Impossible Man. I don't think I remember that one. How long did that book last?
I don't remember, but that was one of the ones created. The character was created by George Perez.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, the Living Colossus, made a quiet debut in 1961. But carved out his own series in 1973's Astonishing Tales number 21. But only to crumble 3 issues into the run. Then he ended up wrestling a green giant in Incredible Hulk 244.
I've never seen since.
Now here, this is one of Ken's favorites.
This is pretty. Oh, have mercy.
Wondar the Aquarian.
You should see this picture. Oh my god.
What's the best way to describe this picture?
I'm trying to be PC about this, and it's hard with this picture. It's very, I'd say a woman should be wearing this outfit, first of all.
I was going to say Disco Jesus.
This sums it up pretty well. Jesus with, like, pink hair.
Yeah.
A disco outfit.
Music,
yeah.
Wondar landed on Earth in 1973's Fear number 17.
Because he looks really fearful.
What's the fear in this one?
What is the fear is that outfit?
The alien Wonderkind came into a small prominence when found by The Thing and Marvel's 2-in-1 number 2 a year later.
His hair fears a comb.
Wondar gained more of a cosmic awareness in 1979's Marvel 2-in-1 number 58, enough to be billed as Marvel's latest greatest superstar.
Alright.
Yeah. And they changed his name to the Aquarian.
Can you imagine a movie made about this guy?
Oh, in the 70s, it probably might have worked.
I don't even know if it worked in the 70s, Mike. He has now, the biggest sleeves I've ever seen on anybody. This man's sleeves go from his knees to his arms.
He's got sleeves that rival a Jedi.
Yeah, well, sleeves can kick a Jedi's butt.
The next one, the Golem. The Golem shuffled into the Marvel Universe in 1974.
The Golem shuffle? That sounds like a dance.
In 1974's Strange Tales, number 176, but after 2 issues,
that was it.
Yep. His story continued into Marvel 2-in-1, number 11, in 1975. Isn't that the... Who else appeared in number 11?
That's a good question, Mike.
Maybe that was it. I thought we said... Yeah, that's gotta be it.
That would be... I think it was The Thing versus... It was The Thing and the Golem, is what it was.
Okay.
So Ben Grimm versus the Golem. They had a little fight.
After a long sleep, he guest starred in 2002's The Hood, number 3. And then the last one they leave us with is Gabriel Devil Hunter.
Devil Hunter.
And this guy almost looks like Nicolas Cage's character from Drive Angry. Except with an eye patch. Gabriel set up practice as an exorcist in 1974's Haunt of Horror, number 2, but lost his license after just 4 issues. He returned to aid a possessed Franklin Richards in Fantastic Four 222 and 223 in 1980, and then lost his mind in Hellstorm, number 21. Another sad victim of coulda have been syndrome.
And there you go.
So.
Coulda been. Just look at all the good stuff you missed.
Yeah, oh yeah. Speaking of coulda beens, Deadpool gets his groove on with a 3D motion cover in September. This September, Deadpool's getting in on all the 3D cover hullabaloo. And today, Marvel is proud to announce, today being June 19th.
Hey, you just threw the story on me.
Well, that's why I'm taking care of this. Marvel is proud to unveil Mark Brooks' stunning 3D dashing dancing Deadpool motion cover variant to Deadpool number 34.
Dancing Deadpool.
Chart-topping writers Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn, along with artist Scott Koblish, bring the truth about Deadpool's past to light as the Merc with a Mouse original sin adventure comes to its nail-biting conclusion. flashback to an earlier time, the 1990s. Covers were flashier, pouches were really in style, and every comic's tied into an event or a crossover. Have we mentioned this latest issue ties into the original Sin yet? Thanks to the events of the original Sin, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents Adsit and Preston have learned the dark secrets in Deadpool's past. Now witness the events they uncovered about Deadpool firsthand, as what really happened is finally revealed. Plus, don't miss guest appearances from some of comics' biggest stars of the 90s. 90s Sabretooth, 90s Alpha Flight, and 90s artwork.
Awesome.
So, the rarity...
like some 90s artwork.
So, the rarity of this will be... your comic book stores will be able to order one copy of the 3D cover for every 52 issues of the regular cover that they purchase.
Oh.
So, 1 in 52, as if your comic book store decides to go with it.
You don't even get it anyway.
A 1 of 52 is going to be... It's going to be kind of rough.
Let's see. So, yeah.
So... now we talked a little bit about the Spider or Web Warriors story arc with Ultimate Spider-Man coming out in August. You had something about the fashion statements, right?
Yes, since we're preparing for this Web Warriors adventure, you know, and we'll run through the wall crawler's most daring clothing choices. So we're going to have a little fashion segment with Spider-Man and Peter Parker. So, while his costume may be the most iconic in the Marvel Universe, Spider-Man hasn't been able to resist changing things up from time to time. You know, over the years, he's donned a few different duds, sometimes throwing a whole new code name and superhero identity in the mix, you know. So to get everybody pumped up for this new season of Web Warriors, we're going to give you a list of the Spider-Man's most notorious alter egos from the comics. So number one would be from Amazing Spider-Man number 252, which would be the black costume. It was his first big departure from the red and blues, and remains his most popular one to date. He came back from an adventure on the alien battle world with more than just a story to tell. He brought with him a symbiotic goo. Say it, Mike. Goo.
Goo.
Okay, that responded to his every whim, whipping about who knew that this black goo...
Was such a
fashionista, Mike. Who knew that he visited an alien planet of fashion?
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty, pretty cool. Anyway, once Peter Parker learned that the suit had a mind image of his own, he quickly replaced it with the next suit on the list, number two, the Amazing Bagman.
I call it.
Okay.
Even Spider-Man has improvised from time to time. After extracting the symbiote from his body and Amazing Spider-Man number 258, Peter had to resort to taking on the kind of humiliating Bagman costume just to protect his identity after leaving the Fantastic Four's lab. Don't be fooled. The spare Fantastic Four uniform and a brown paper bag combo has become a bit of a fan favorite since its brief appearance.
So I wonder if we'll see it in the Web Warrior series.
The Bagman.
Bagman.
Number three, Cosmic Spider-Man. You know, I don't remember Cosmic Spider-Man, honestly.
I've never heard of it.
So, apparently he wields nuclear reactors on his fists, according to this drawing. Anyway, during a battle with the Tri-Sentinel, three times deadlier than a regular Sentinel, Spider-Man comes to possess the Uni-Power. Special power set travels the cosmos, possessing people in times of crisis and turning them into Captain Universe. This has got to be one of those most whacked out stories. Anyway, in Amazing Spider-Man number 329, Spider-Man uses his new skills to prevent Loki and the Tri-Sentinel from turning New York City into a nuclear disaster area. Then, the Unipower went on to find the next person in need.
I want to know when this book came out, because it doesn't say what year.
This was Amazing Spider-Man number 329, which would be...
Early 90s?
This would be February 10th, 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, that came out, yeah.
Okay.
So, the next costume would be number 4 from Amazing Spider-Man number 435, Identity Crisis. After getting framed for murder by Norman Osborn, Peter Parker had no choice but to adopt four new identities: Ricochet, Hornet, Dust, and Prodigy, to clear his name. Each costume utilized different aspects of his powers, and the quartet of new alter egos allowed for Spider-Man to stretch his fashion design skills. Four college students would later adopt their band identity and call themselves the Slingers. You know, I got to admit that I'm glad I missed all this. Anyway, number 5 from Amazing Spider-Man, number 529, Iron Spider. When you're pals with Tony Stark, it's hard to convince the guy to just get you a gift card for a present. To show just how much Iron Man appreciated Peter Parker choosing his side during the superhero Civil War, Stark created this Iron Spider armor. Cast in a familiar red and gold color scheme, the outfit closely tied to Iron Man's pro superhero registration team, meaning that Spider-Man quickly shoved this one in the back of his closet as soon as he switched over to Captain America's side.
Then he got that star-spangled banner suit.
Oh, boy. I'm glad he's back with the red and blue.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I like Morales' costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice costume.
What about Tim McFarlane's Spider-Man?
Todd McFarlane's? It was all right.
Yeah, Todd McFarlane's. Oh, my Lord.
It was all right. Yeah. I put it up there with Bendis's.
Anyway, that would be the Peter Parker fashion segment.
Well, we'll hit some Marvel gaming news before we get to the most anticipated part of the show.
The end of the show? No, oh, you mean the comic?
Comic picks. Yeah.
Oh, I thought when the show ended, also. Never mind.
So those of you who have been partaking in Zen Studios Pinball, which, of course, there's Star Wars. Mm-hmm. There's already a bunch of Marvel. I know there's Iron Man. I think there's a Doc Strange. Gonna be able to start playing with pinball with Deadpool.
Nice.
The Deadpool pinball is coming to console, mobile, and PC next week, or this coming week from Zen Studios. After months of coercion, threats, and highly inappropriate late-night text, Zen Studios has agreed to create a virtual pinball table for the one and only Merc with a Mouth.
Awesome.
In all seriousness, well, some seriousness at least, Zen Studios is extremely excited to be working with the fine folks at Marvel to bring Deadpool fans a pinball experience that is true to the character as you could get. Featuring the supreme voice talents of the one and only Nolan North as Deadpool, this table will capture the aberrant, fourth wall crushing attitude of the character, as well as featuring supporting characters from the Deadpool universe, including Blind Owl, Weasel, Little Deadpool, and others from the Deadpool universe.
The Wheeze.
Sorry,
I had to get that in there.
If you go to Marvel.com and find the story, there's a trailer for Deadpool, and it's amazing. It's quite entertaining. Deadpool's pinball debut will feature a dynamic table that will switch at his whim. Quick time events and a blind mode courtesy of Blind Owl, which only the ball flippers and target lanes are visible, and even a mode where the player can help Deadpool take down some of his most nefarious enemies, raging comic book fans.
Raging comic book fans.
So this looks entertaining. So excited to see this. This might be one I would have to pick up. I'm going to say this could probably run anywhere between $1.99 to maybe $2.99 in the game as an in-game add-on.
He has some audio for it.
I do not.
Is there a clip for that? That you
there,
play?
There is a trailer. I do. Actually, I do have a clip, and we'll play that right now.
Prepare yourselves for the greatest pinball gaming experience of all time!
Isn't that a bit of hyperbole?
That'll be better than the Iron Man table, anyway.
Touche!
Oh, you think that was funny? Come back here, I'll show you funny. Really? A quick time event? Oh, how exciting. Stop messing with my game! Bad little me, bad!
Do that again! One more time, I dare you!
We rock! Do it again! Do it again! I need a taco.
And finally, gaming news. Lego Marvel is coming to an iOS device near you. That's right. Lego Marvel is coming to Apple. And it's available now, actually, in the App Store. Lego Marvel Superheroes Universe in Peril features an original story crossing the entire Marvel Universe. Fans can take control of Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Hulk, Captain America, Wolverine, and many more Marvel characters as they unite to stop Loki and a host of other Marvel villains from assembling a super weapon capable of destroying the world. That was a mouthful.
Yes.
In LEGO Marvel Superheroes Universe in Peril, players can experience 45 action-packed missions as they chase down cosmic bricks across key locations.
Hmm.
You know, I thought we were having a moment.
I was having 12% of the moment.
You got some audio for this, too?
I do. So, let me play that real quick.
Big bad end of the world kind of thing. You alone have the expertise we need to help defend the Earth.
This place is mine to rule! Clobber it, Tom!
Stars and garters.
What does that even mean?
And that would be Lego's Marvel Superheroes Universe in Peril.
Is this only on iOS? There's no, like...
It's not on the Android or anything else. This is just for iOS devices.
The Sons of the Guns.
Developed by TT Games. Lego Marvel Superheroes Universe in Peril is now available for $4.99 on the App Store.
$4.99.
As a Lego gaming fan, it might be worth having on the go.
Yeah, if you like playing. I guess it'd be cool if you had like an iPad or something.
On the iPad, it'd be a lot better than trying to play it on the iPhone. Yeah. So, I guess it's just that time. It is time for the Mighty Marvel Geeks comic picks for New Comic Book Day. This will be for, the 25th?
Tuesday? Or Wednesday, 24th
is the 25th.
Yeah. Okay, Wednesday 25th. There you go.
So, what do you have as your first pick?
Oh, what do I have? Oh, my first pick, I would have the Amazing Spider-Man number 3. It is writer is Dan Slott, cover artist is Humberto Ramos. And a little description is, because of her last encounter with Spider-Man, Felicia Hardy lost everything. Now the Black Cat is back, and she doesn't want any apologies, just revenge. Plus, Spidey teams up with a real hero, Fireman Pedro Oliveira, who just happens to be the current boyfriend to one Mary Jane Watson. And more on you-know-who from the opening scene back in Amazing Spider-Man number 1. You know who we're talking about. Yeah, that's right. You better not miss this one.
Well, my first pick kind of swings right along with that. I went with Spider-Man Spectacular number 1. Cover artist Patrick Scherberger, writer, and former Mighty Marvel Geeks guest Joe Caramagna. Four Titanic tales set in Spider-Man's past. Young Peter Parker has mastered his newfound spider powers. But how will being the Amazing Spider-Man affect his personal life? Can Peter keep his secret identity from Aunt May and his high school crush, Liz Allen? Man, he gets around, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a lot of girlfriends.
Spider-Man's luck is about to get worse as an experimental serum transforms millionaire Harry Osborn into the villainous Green Goblin. Spider-Man soon finds himself locked in a battle high above the streets, with Aunt May caught in the middle. Can Spidey triumph with a little help from his new fan club? When Kraven the Hunter puts Spider-Man in his sights, can the Web Wonder save himself from becoming the catch of the day? So your number two pick.
Number two pick is Original Sin. Sins. Is that it?
That was it. Original Sin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Original Sin. Number 3.1. I was looking at the wrong one. This one is Original Sin 3.1. Hulk versus Iron Man number 1. Writer is Mark Waid. Cover artist is J.G. Jones. And the only description says, everybody has one. That's it.
Okay. I went with Uncanny Avengers number 21. Cover artist is Daniel Acuña. Writer is Rick Remender. Avenge the Earth finale. This is it. The conclusion to an epic 2 years in the making. And rest assured, nothing will ever be the same again. The final battle will not be with the enemy. It will be with ourselves. In the darkest hour, the Avengers Unity Squad unite entirely. And the fate of the seven futures decided.
Cool. My last pick is Guardians of the Galaxy number 16. Writer is Brian Michael Bendis. Cover artist Nick Bradshaw. Star-Lord on the run from a mysterious new adversary, alone without the aid of the Guardians. That is all for the description.
Well, my final pick for the week should come as no surprise.
The most ridiculous cover I've ever seen.
Yeah, but it's so great. Issue 2 had a great cover as well. And I can only be talking about all new Dupe number 3.
Why does he remind me of Slimer from Ghostbusters?
Because he is almost like Slimer. He's almost like Slimer meets Batmite from the DC world. Cover artist is Mike Allred. Writer is Peter Milligan. Behind the scenes and beyond the margins of Battle of the Atom, Dupe's unrequited love for Kitty continues unabated, forcing the little green guy to drag Bobby Drake into Dopeland, or Dupeland.
Dopeland.
into Dupeland for some highly unusual questioning. Dupe discovers that Ray's is not really future Kitty Pryde. The shapely shapeshifter has a very dark secret that must...
Shapely shapeshifter, okay.
That just might stop Dupe from telling the other X-Men the truth about his identity. Mm. So there you have it. Spider-Man Spectacular, number 1. Amazing Spider-Man, number 3. Uncanny Avengers, number 21. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 16. Original Sin number 3.1 and All New Dupe number 3. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So, check us out. We should be back on air on Sorcerer Radio next Saturday. And of course, we will drop as a podcast on Sunday morning at 6:16 in the morning. If anyone knows why, give us a shout. See how well your guess is. And I guess until next time, any final thoughts, Ken?
I have no final thoughts whatsoever. Everybody have a good week, and hope we'll have fun on Sorcerer Radio when everybody comes back from vacation.
Until next time.
This has been a WB Geeks production.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app, version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices, as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog!
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That ride was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No Fast Pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds. Sounds.com.